This is fine. This is a poor substitute for therapy, but an excellent substitute for other podcasts.
We're not like other podcasts.
Join us as we find the answers to the universe's biggest questions like, is butter a carb? Does crying burn calories? And what the fuck am I doing with my life? We're here to be your part-time therapist, astrologer, concierge doctor, and fairy godmother. Do you need someone to validate you today? Cool. Come on in. We're fine. This is fine. Greetings, gorgeous listeners. It's Dominique here. Are you ready to get more gorgeous? Perhaps tune into your well-being a bit? Today, we're welcoming Sandra Lanxin Chu, LAC-MSTCM. She's a licensed acupuncturist, herbalist, and TCM practitioner with a master's of traditional Chinese medicine. She's also the founder of Lanxin and an expert in all things skincare, including gua sha, so we're going to get into that a lot today. We're so thrilled to have Sandra join us today, and before I get her on the line, I want to give some background to her story because I was so blown away when I read it. Sandra's journey, like many of our own, started with chronic pain, depression, and intense fatigue. Her wake-up call came in the form of TCM and when she realized that her symptoms were warning signals from her body. I personally love this part of the story because I look at symptoms like check engine lights on a car, so I know she's our people. Okay, so Sandra then saw a Chinese shaman who specialized in Qigong massage, and after just one session, she said this treatment relieved her of intense pain. She says this is what unlocked a new world of traditional Chinese medicine. So she went off to PCOM in San Diego, which is where actually a few of my friends have studied or are currently studying. It has since been renamed the Pacific College of Health and Science, if you're familiar. Sandra then went to do her postgraduate studies in Beijing, and after that completed a course of specialized study, so she really went full send into this world of healing. Nothing halfway here. Today, she's been in this field for over 20 years and has a practice based in Brooklyn, which comprises TCM dermatology, cosmetic acupuncture, and gua sha. Her online store provides tools, serums, cleansers, masks, teas, supplements, like a cornucopia of TCM skincare from the inside out, as well as a lot of educational resources and materials. We're going to get her take on TCM skincare, how it fits into a larger scope of practice, how our general health and the health of our skin are interconnected, why you should take TCM herbs and practices seriously and treat them like the medical practices that they are, and of course, how to start gua sha or take your gua sha routine to the next level. Let's do it. Okay, Sandra, thank you so much for joining us today. We start out every episode with asking our guests, are you fine today? Is this fine?
And this is so fine.
love it. Again, thank you for joining us. I'm so excited to share your wisdom with our listeners. And I'm so excited to get into all things TCM. I did give a brief introduction on how you got into this field, but I would love to hear from you, maybe a more in-depth look at your background and how you got into TCM and your studies.
Sure. I have been practicing Chinese medicine since about 2006. And I actually had to train for TCM or traditional Chinese medicine starting in 2001. So I started my training over 20 years ago for Chinese medicine. And what a lot of people don't realize is that training takes a long time. So we trained for 4 years, and that helps. That's what we need to get a license,
right,
to practice. So then I've been practicing for almost 20 years, and I started out being a generalist, treating everything from pain and fertility, heartburn, respiratory problems, etc., and then gradually became focused on treating skin disorders. And then that evolved into the addition of treating cosmetic concerns. So my work now is similar to a dermatologist, except that instead of using antibiotics or steroids or whatever they're using, I'm using Chinese herbs, acupuncture, gua sha, cupping, all the tools of Chinese medicine to address skin conditions.
Love it.
Like acne, rosacea, melasma, eczema, etc. But then also people that say, you know, I want to rejuvenate my skin. I want to see if I can feel and look a little younger. And, you know, so then I use TCM tools to treat the skin in a more cosmetic way.
Cool. And I love that you got into this. Like, you know, TCM in general is such a vast world of medicine and healing. What was it about skincare and skin health that drew you into this particular part of the field?
I think a couple things. One is that everything that Chinese medicine treats is so elegant and sophisticated in the way that it diagnoses conditions, in the way that it perceives what is the problem, right? So for instance, with skin, I thought that it provided a much more elegant and sophisticated way of understanding a skin problem, mm-hmm. where it understood what was happening at the surface, but then also deeper down below,
the root.
Internally,
right.
The root. Yeah. And so I'll give you a for instance. So in acne, when we diagnose an acne condition, we're looking at different patterns that might be appearing in a patient's body.
Okay.
So not all acne is the same,
right?
Like in Western medicine, acne tends to be one type. Nowadays, I think they're starting to look at a fungal type of acne. And so they'll treat it with antifungals instead mm-hmm. of antibacterials. But it's largely, you just throw antibiotics at
right.
it.
A pharmaceutical.
Or Accutane at it and hope that it works, right? And
right.
it doesn't always work.
Pharmaceuticals and prayers.
Yeah. So it's a little, to me, it feels a little clunky. I mean, I think I'm going to upset dermatologists if they hear that. But to
That's
me,
okay.
it feels clunky from my perspective.
Right.
Because in Chinese medicine, we'll look at acne and we'll quote unquote read the skin. So by observing a pimple, is it a pustule, meaning does it have like a white head? Or is it just a raised red, dark red, raised bump?
Mm-hmm.
So, or is it a light pink? Because that tells us a different story about what's happening internally. Yeah. So by looking at the skin disorder, so in this case, acne, we'll determine, oh, is this more of a blood stagnation type of acne where mm-hmm. internally the blood isn't moving very well, the blood quality isn't very good, or is it more of a stomach heat, we'll say, like a heat and damp condition where what our treatment needs to focus on is removing dampness, so removing
right.
excess fluid from the body.
Like a cooling
well
and drying treatment.
Exactly, or draining treatment.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So, or is it more moving the blood stagnation, getting the circulation to flow better? Or is it a little of both? So it's just so sophisticated, I feel, and more, there's just more ways to understand acne, and that really helps
right.
when you're trying to treat it, because there's more options for treatment when you understand, oh, there's different types of acne. And if we understand the different types, then we can provide a more concise and hopefully effective treatment. So I think that's what drew me. That's a long way to say that's what drew me to Chinese medicine dermatology, is that it was so elegant and there was so few options from Western medicine that seemed effective in my patients.
Yeah. Something I noticed from what you said and just my own experience with TCM is it's treating an individual, not so much a compartmentalized area of the body. Like you just said, you know, different individuals could come in with the same symptom on the surface, right? I need treatment with acne, but they could have very different roots. And if you're taking like a one-size-fits-all approach to treating and you're only treating it sort of like a Band-Aid versus treating the whole individual and getting to the root, then you're going to keep having the same problems, right?
Exactly. And you're going to get frustrated. Well, patients do get frustrated.
Yeah.
Feeling, you know, why nothing works. Nothing works. There's no hope.
Right.
So with Chinese medicine, there are some other avenues and some other options because we see the body differently.
Right.
And it's not better or worse. It's just different and it's just more options. So if you've run out of options with Western treatment,
right.
Chinese medicine treatment is a really great choice to, you know, to give it a try.
Yeah. And you might end up, I mean, I'm projecting a little bit, but you might end up treating things you didn't know you needed to treat and solving problems you didn't initially come in to solve.
That's absolutely correct. Because when someone comes to me for a skin condition, we are looking at their digestive system. Is there anything, you know, not quite 100% there? Maybe there isn't, you know, an outright problem, but maybe there's like a slight deficiency in their digestive system, which might look like, oh, they get a little gassy and bloated a little too often, and that's uncomfortable, but it's not like a full blown diagnosed stomach disorder.
Right. Like impairing their lives.
Right. Like it's not something their MD would call out or even be able to diagnose as like an official disorder. But they have a problem with their digestion that makes them uncomfortable. And in Chinese medicine, we recognize that as a problem.
Right.
So people will come, and there's many other, usually with skin disorders, there are other disorders happening. Or if it's not like a disorder, it's like a discomfort in the body that they're experiencing, which we'll treat, and we believe we should treat, for instance, gas and bloating or like period pain.
Wow.
That's very common with skin disorders, especially acne. Yeah, and rosacea, if you're still menstruating and you have rosacea, we see that a lot.
Interesting, and, like a hormonal imbalance perhaps?
Yeah, in Chinese medicine, we don't call it hormonal imbalance.
Right.
We will look at what organ system is not behaving correctly, right? Or it's not functioning like it's supposed to, per the manual, right?
Right.
So we're often looking at, and if you've ever had an acupuncture treatment or do Chinese herbs, you've probably heard the terms, you know, a liver qi stagnation,
right,
or a liver qi, a blood deficiency. So we're looking at the organ systems and how they, we're studying in school how the organ system should function or how they should behave. So when they step out of line, so to speak, that's when you get problems. That's when you get period pain. That's when you get irregular periods or quote unquote hormonal imbalance.
Right.
And that's when you might have pain in your body or a stomach discomfort.
Right.
So when the organ systems step out of line, then that's when we come in with treatment that will match whatever organ system is needing a reboot, right?
So TLC.
yeah. And we'll provide it with that reboot and restore it with its proper function using the tools, acupuncture, herbs, etc.
Well, I love it. I'm a huge fan of it personally. I've even taken my dog to veterinarian acupuncture. I love that there is a new lens on the same problem, right? Like something that you could go to like an allopathic, quote unquote, Western doctor, and they're like, oh, this is what I would do. And you take this to a TCM practitioner and they've got a completely different lens on the same problem. And they're like, you know, you have this problem, but why? Where is it coming from? I personally really appreciate that target of the root cause, the root imbalance.
Yeah. And when we think about the root, there are many different possibilities in different people. So one skin disorder, eczema is not created equal. Acne, rosacea, melasma, none of them are created equal. They occur a bit differently in every body. And the goal of TCM is that it recognizes that and it has a pathway or a roadmap to treating an individual so that they get a little bit more of a custom approach. And I sometimes call TCM more of like a couture medicine.
Haute couture medicine, yes.
yeah, because it fits you. You know, we look at your whole symptom picture, everything from your menstrual health to your digestive health to your respiratory health to your nervous system health, and we put it all together.
Right.
And so
you're piecing a puzzle together of an individual.
Exactly. And that's going to occur a little differently in every person. So when we treat, we are definitely emphasizing the individual versus the disease. Okay. And I think that that's why people not only experience benefits from it, but I feel like they develop a relationship to the medicine because it's really seeing them. Right. They feel seen.
Right. It's so validating. So,
it's very validating. Whereas Western medicine, people tend to come to me and describe feeling or describe a story of just feeling sometimes on the extreme gaslit, mm-hmm. and you know, when it's not so extreme, just not intuitively gelling or understanding what the diagnosis or the treatment pathway is,
right,
from the Western side.
So if someone's coming to you, you're treating them as an individual. We're talking haute couture medicine. They don't feel seen or validated by their, you know, allopathic or Western practitioner. They're going to come into an appointment. And are you doing things like checking pulse and looking at tongue and all those, you know, acupunctural things?
Yes, yes. So Chinese medicine examination includes both those things, pulse, tongue, and then also a thorough examination of your health history and everything that from your period and menstrual mm-hmm. situation. So I'll ask you, how often is your period? Is it regular? I like when people track their periods and I can see the days in between each cycle. I like to see if the blood is, or ask, I like to ask if the blood quality is thicker or thinner or darker or lighter red color. So all these detailed questions lets me understand what is the blood quality in a person's body, mm-hmm. and also how well is their liver working? How well is their spleen working? You can see it through the menstrual behavior.
Right.
And also the same thing for digestion, respiratory. You know, I'll ask about their head and their neck. You cover the whole span of all the body's systems.
Right.
And you take the tongue, pulse, and then you might do other physical examinations. With skin, I have to also look at the skin disorder. So if we're looking at, say, acne or rosacea, I'm taking a set of pictures and I track all my patients with pictures every treatment. Every time they see me, we're tracking their progress and their status through the pictures, which definitely tell a story.
Right.
And because when I take pictures, I'm able to blow them up on my computer so I can see really fine detail
wow.
in a person's skin.
I never want to see my face blown up like that.
It is pretty scary for everyone.
Jump scare.
But you can see sometimes it can tell you things that you can't see with your own eyes. So like what I was saying earlier about how we read the skin, we might be able to determine, you know, the depth of redness. You know, because if it's a really deep red, that means one thing. And if it's a really light pink superficial red, that's another thing. So reading the skin is really important for treating skin disorders. So I do that, and in addition to pulse and tongue.
Right, the whole body and then in depth on skin. I bet some people probably come in and maybe think or say, you know, I came to you for hyperpigmentation. You're asking me how many times I have a bowel movement. Like, is anyone ever surprised by how in-depth you go?
Not anymore. I think that sometimes people are surprised when they come in for cosmetic treatment mm-hmm. and they're thinking, oh, she's going to work on my face because my complaints are, let's say it's jowls or let's say it's, you know, eye wrinkles, and I'm all over their neck. Mm. And that will surprise them. But to me, I think the key to everything that happens in the face is the neck.
Interesting. So, let's talk more about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that when I treat my patients, something I've observed over the years is how connected the state of the neck is to the state of the face. So for instance, if your neck is really tight and it pulls your head and your face down, right, towards the chest, mm-hmm. and kind of like a forward hunch, which we all have and we're constantly doing when we're on our phones.
Pulling my head back now to correct it.
Yeah. When we're on our phones, when we're on our computers, we're constantly in that forward C curve. And that's creating a lot of pulling. And that pulling is going to affect the face. I see that affecting the jaws. I see it affecting the jowls. And when the neck is really tight because of all of that, because of tech neck basically, then it's like the muscles of the neck then become excessively tight and put a chokehold on circulation that should be freely flowing up into the head and into the face and mm-hmm. back out.
Okay.
And so when that's not happening at an ideal level, then you start to see problems, especially as we get older. The complexion is affected. The quality of like that juicy plumpness of the skin is affected. The puffiness, of course, and darkness, dark circles under the eyes. Almost everything to me that happens in the face and head is either connected to the neck or is a direct result of a tight neck.
This is basically such a juicy skincare and like general health tip that like you should be checking in with your neck posture. Like you could be using all these creams and, you know, spending tons of money on facials, but your neck posture is messed up, which is stagnating like the flow of blood that could be improving elasticity, you know, clarity in your face or causing issues.
Exactly.
Wow.
yeah. If you do nothing else, just make sure that your neck stays supple.
Wow. I'm going to sign up for physical therapy immediately. Wow. Honestly, though, as you said it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm leaning over a podcast mic. Let me roll my shoulders back. Let me pull my head back. It totally is locked into that tech neck position.
Yes. And over time, you don't see it when you're 25 as much, right?
Right.
But once you reach like 35, 40, you start to see the result, the accumulated results of all the years of hunching over, of overworking your neck muscles, and, you know, forcing them to like really work hard in sort of the front and the sides of your neck. And then that will create pain in the back of your neck because of that imbalance between the front and the back.
Okay.
So basically I could talk for a whole weekend about neck, but the neck is so important. And I think some people are surprised by that when I'm treating them for a facial cosmetic concern.
Right. You're like, why are you touching? Or they're like, why are you touching my neck? Why are you working on my neck? I came for a facelift.
Exactly.
And you're like, I'm giving you one.
Well, it helps whatever I do on the face hold longer.
Wow. Okay. So you're improving the efficacy and the results of whatever you're doing on your face by targeting the neck.
Yes, because I don't just want I don't want someone to come to me and just say, that lasted a day. Thanks.
Right.
No. No. I mean, having said that, Chinese medicine cosmetic treatment does require regularity initially to really set the foundation.
Right.
The work needs to accumulate. So we do recommend weekly treatment for 8 to 12 weeks if that's possible. Mm-hmm. Or if that's not possible, we recommend coming whatever your budget and time will allow. And then the rest of the time, you're doing regular treatments at home with your personal at home gua sha routine or, hot massage work, because we love to use our little hot massagers. So we'll send our patients home with tools that they can use on themselves and maintain the work that we do in office, but then also give them a tool that they can also just use daily on themselves.
Amazing. So it's sort of like setting the direction, correcting for some things, building that foundation, and then launching them into some at-home maintenance.
Yes, it's a full picture, because that's the truth of health and or cosmetic work.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess, one of the differences between Western treatment, which in the cosmetic world would be, say, fillers and Botox.
Right.
If I understand correctly, and, you know, it's not my zone, so I don't know if I'm correct on this, but Botox and fillers are usually, you do it once and it's good for around 3 to 6 months. You don't really have to touch it.
Right. Depending on, you know, what kind of filler or how fast you metabolize Botox, et cetera.
Right. So in that way, it feels like very convenient. You show up at the provider's office.
Right. Set it and forget it.
Yeah, exactly. Set it and forget it. But what that doesn't offer is that helping improve the overall health of your skin and the tissues beneath it? Is it addressing your neck health?
Right. Not at all.
Yeah. So those things are really important in preventing accelerated aging.
Right.
As well as pain, because when your neck, not only does tech neck affect you cosmetically, it also affects headaches.
Yeah.
Allergies, sinus mm-hmm. congestion, anything that affects your head is impacted by the state of your neck, the quality of your neck health.
It's so true.
That's really important.
That's not just a TCM like school of thought as well. Like my allopathic neurologist, when I went in for chronic migraines, part of the treatment was going to PT for my neck. And I am now reminded that I have not been in a long time. But it's so true. It's like any kind of approach to this, someone who's looking at, you know, the whole scope of your head should be looking at your neck too. And I never put it in this, you know, frame of mind until you brought it up. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. And what's fascinating about Chinese medicine is they knew this around for a really long time in Chinese medicine. So I think there's a lot to learn from the Chinese medicine way of understanding the body and the way that the body responds to the world around it.
Yeah.
And so rather than, I hope that, you know, the medical community, rather than immediately thinking that we're pseudoscience,
right?
Just because it's a foreign idea doesn't mean it's pseudoscience. And just because it hasn't been researched yet doesn't mean there isn't any validity to it. It just means it hasn't been researched through a Western lens.
In America.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's been practiced for thousands of years in Asia. And if it didn't work, it wouldn't last.
Exactly. Like it would be the biggest scam of all time. If it got people for thousands of years to keep doing it and they think they feel better, like that would be one hell of a heist.
Exactly. And people would just forget about it if it didn't work.
Exactly.
It wouldn't pass the test of time. It wouldn't evolve. So I think that if the Western medical community would sit down with the Chinese medicine community and have a conversation, I think we could create a lot of innovation for healing, health, and medicine.
Absolutely.
For everyone.
Like the merging of the two fields would be such a beautiful thing to see. I've been kind of preaching and advocating for that for a while. I like just really want these worlds of medicine, schools of thought to, you know, pick from the best of both worlds and work together. I am happy to see that a lot of doctors in California, at least, or Southern California, have been much more appreciative and, what's the word I'm looking for, encouraging, at least of me, to pursue more acupuncture. I don't know if it's the same in New York, but I am seeing a shift here.
There's definitely been a shift in the last 10 years or so where doctors are pro acupuncture. You rarely hear about a doctor that thinks it's snake oil or, you know, quackery.
Right.
But when I first graduated back in 2005, that it was definitely 75 to 80% chance a person's doctor would not be very positive about their patient going to see an acupuncturist.
That's so wild.
Yeah, or outright critical of it. We were also, you know, largely thought to be like quacks.
God, I can only imagine what that feels like when you are like, no, I know how to help people, and you're being dismissed in such a violent way, really.
Yeah, I mean, we were fringe for sure. Back then, we were fringe. And if you live in the fringe world, it doesn't feel so bad because people understand and people are seeking this type of alternative way of treating the body and understanding the body. So, you know, we had our own little community of alternative health people, and now it seems to be pretty mainstream.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's been a positive change for sure.
Absolutely. I think more and more people are curious about exploring it. You're starting to see, you know, popular tinctures take off in the way that, you know, supplements, like I don't want to compare it to something like sugar bear hair because I have no idea about the quality or efficacy of something like that. But you know, the, in terms of popularity, I see on TikTok all the time, like Elix tinctures for hormone balance, and you know, gua sha in particular is something else that I think has become really popular in the beauty world. I would love to actually get some of your tips, advice, thoughts, maybe even the history of gua sha if you're up for it. I know that's a big part of your practice and something that people are hearing more and more about.
Sure. Well, let me first say that I think that as Chinese medicine becomes bigger, right? Mm-hmm. Becomes more quote unquote trendy. You're seeing it on TikTok. You're seeing all these new Chinese medicine based products come to market. I think that we arrive at a different, I think we arrive at a place where now it's really important that consumers understand what is traditional Chinese medicine and what is a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner and how is that different than an influencer who's talking about Chinese medicine but isn't actually trained.
Okay.
Because right now what I'm seeing with this huge rise of Chinese medicine, whether it's gua sha, whether it's herbs, whether it's facial cupping, so many things are becoming more and more popular that come from Chinese medicine. And on the one hand, that's great. As a Chinese medicine practitioner, we've been waiting for the day for it to be received this way in the West. You know, it's already big, obviously, in Asia.
Right.
So now that it's really struck a chord here and become, I don't love when Chinese medicine becomes trendy because to me, it's not a trend. It's been around for so long.
You're like, this is ancient, actually.
But because that's just the way social media works and how this economy works, when it becomes trendy, there also arrives a new danger, which is because that it's a medicine. So I see a lot of influencers, a lot of brands who are not led by trained Chinese medicine practitioners with clinical experience.
Right.
And that to me could become a problem because it's a medicine. That's kind of like if suddenly there was a bunch of influencers advising people on antibiotics.
Right, exactly. And I think the same thing happens with nutrition. This is something that impacts an individual's health. Like this can be like life or death. Actually, we've talked about this on the podcast before. When it comes down to something that involves your health, your body, your physical, mental body, like that's really dangerous if you don't have the context or a professional who's guiding that conversation.
Exactly, especially when it comes to Chinese herbal treatment.
Right.
There's, you know, one of the understandings that we have in Chinese medicine is that you don't have a lot of give if you make an error with herbs.
Interesting.
Because that herb goes into the person's body. If it's not the right herb, it can, you know, at a minimum, just be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But if it's the wrong herb or herbal formula, it can actually put them in the hospital.
Yeah.
So, you cannot, it is not okay to me as a Chinese medicine practitioner for people to take herbal medicine lightly and just think of it as, oh, it's like a tea. It's just like a tea.
Right.
It's not just like a tea.
Right.
Especially if brands are coming out with products that have a claim, like it's going to relieve a pain, for instance, or whatever the claim they're making, that's now in the territory of medicine. So I think it's really important that as more and more brands come to market, consumers need to understand, they need to do a little due diligence on that brand because Chinese medicine is still so foreign to the West that there's no familiar ways that, like, you wouldn't know how to vet a Chinese medicine brand, right? As long as they're saying qi, as long as they're like saying like, as long as you're hearing the language and the terminology sounds about right, you're not going to be able to know the difference between a real expert and someone who thinks they know, but were never trained.
It's easy to fake it to someone who is not discerning or doesn't have the background.
Fake it or just not know.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people just don't understand that Chinese herbal medicine is a serious practice.
Right.
And you can't just go around telling everyone to take ginseng because ginseng isn't appropriate for everyone. You should know who it's appropriate for and who it isn't for at all. And if you don't know that, you shouldn't be selling an herb that has ginseng in it. And unless you know how to, if you're a Chinese medicine practitioner, then you can advise, these are the types of people where this would be appropriate for. These are the types of people where this would not be appropriate for, and you shouldn't take this. This is how long you should take ginseng. You shouldn't take it your whole life. It's not a forever supplement.
It's like short-term acute.
It was not designed to be a forever supplement.
Right.
So
it goes to what you say about this being, you know, haute couture versus fast fashion, right? Like this is supposed to be like made to order for your body, very personalized, very specific, which is not something you can just go out and buy.
Right. Right. Or, you know, if you want to get help, you know, if you need, if you feel like you're resonating with what an herb or an herbal formula does, then, you know, usually you go and seek a Chinese medicine practitioner. Nowadays, there's brands where you can try out an herbal formula or something like that, right? Like an herbal tincture. And that's fine. I consider that an entry level. I still think that consumers need to know how to do some due diligence on the brands for their safety. As an herbalist, I just think that it's important that consumers understand that herbs are serious.
Yeah, the security and the power.
Yeah, and you shouldn't just take them from anyone. Take them from a trusted source. So, for instance, my trusted sources for herbs have, and this is the thing that the consumers don't understand, the kinds of places or distributors that Chinese medicine practitioners buy their herbs from are not the brands that are selling tinctures on the market. We don't buy our herbs from them. We buy from usually long-standing, highly reputable herbal companies that have been making Chinese herbal formulas for generations. Mm-hmm. They have a long history of operation and expertise in sourcing herbs, in processing herbs properly, and just understanding Chinese medicine as well as practitioners do. And these are the kinds of places that we're buying herbs for our patients.
Right.
But I'm not seeing that. Most of the brands that I see out there selling herbs are not that kind of company. And I'm not saying that that means that you shouldn't take them and that they're not good. I'm just saying this is what the picture of Chinese herbs looks like to Chinese medicine practitioners. So from the Chinese medicine practitioner or Chinese herbal practitioner point of view, which is where I'm coming from, this is how I think of the whole field of herbal supplements that are available out there today.
Solid context, and it's a really good warning and I think preventative measure for anyone listening. With gua sha in particular, I feel like there might be a little bit less risk in terms of like the thing that you're buying, but perhaps there might be some know-how that you need to have going into it, some context when you're using it at home. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that with facial gua sha, well, I think when we talk about gua sha, we have to understand that facial gua sha, what you're seeing on social media where people are using a tool on their face, that's not the larger practice of gua sha. That's
right.
A small branch.
Okay.
It just happens to be the most popular in the West, possibly because it's so Instagrammable, possibly because we're obsessed with beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why that took off more than the traditional medical form of gua sha, but I think it's important for people to know that gua sha began as a medical practice for healing, and it can heal pretty serious disorders. It was originally used to treat things as serious as cholera back in the day.
Wow.
Its history goes back to, there's records that suggest that it goes back to Paleolithic times. It's
so
that
cool.
Ancient.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's even older than acupuncture, which is needle medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an old medicine and it has a lot of efficacy in treating disease, disorders, pain, elevating the immune system or stimulating the immune system. And then, of course, it also has cosmetic benefits, which to me are the side effects
right.
of what it's doing.
Which
is, yeah.
Right. It's not just for snatched jaws. It's treating
right,
a lot of other things.
Exactly. A snatched jaw was not the original intent.
In the Paleolithic era.
Yeah, but it is a happy side effect.
I'm just imagining,
right?
Like, people in the Paleolithic era being like, my jaw is so snatched.
Yeah, I think they would look at us and be like, they're crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Our what is it called? The opposite of an ancestor. Our
progeny or offspring.
Yeah.
Future our generations.
Crazy. Yeah. So yeah, but it's so it yes, it is a credible and serious medicine in and of itself, gua sha. And the medical type that you've seen where people get red on their body, which by the way is normal and is part of the technique.
Right, because it's scraping.
That you need to get from a trained, licensed professional in Chinese medicine, not like an esthetician, because they're not trained in medical gua sha. That's not part of their scope of practice. In some states, massage therapists, it may be included in their scope of practice, but you need to make sure that if you get medical gua sha, the best people to get it from is an acupuncturist.
Right.
They're trained, we're licensed, and
they have an LAC on the end of their name.
Correct. Or a DAC, which is a doctorate of acupuncture.
Perfect.
So that's really important for consumers to know, is if you want to get credible, safe gua sha treatment, always seek an LAC, which is a licensed acupuncturist, or DAC. And massage therapists, you're going to have to check with your state if they're supposed to practice gua sha or not. And then estheticians are not trained in medical gua sha. They cannot do it. They should not be doing it. If you are going to an esthetician who's doing medical gua sha scraping on you, where you're getting red all over your neck and back,
leave.
You need to see a new esthetician because that's not okay.
What framework would someone be seeking medical gua sha? I know it covers a lot. That's a really broad question, but do you have some examples of why someone would seek medical gua sha versus cosmetic?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, before 2017, 18, that was the only gua sha people sought.
Right.
Because facial gua sha, while it's definitely a newer aspect of gua sha in comparison to the deeper healing aspect of gua sha and being used for that. So facial gua sha is newer and medical gua sha is old as time. Mm-hmm. And so people would seek medical gua sha for things like pain.
Right.
You know, I would use it often when I see neck pain, back pain, any kind of pain and rigidity or stiffness in the body. It's great for that.
Okay.
Anytime someone is feeling on the verge of coming down with the cold or flu is a great time to do gua sha.
Okay. Get it out of the body.
It really stimulates the immune system. Mm-hmm. And also if someone is getting sick a lot, we might do gua sha to really just pull out the stagnation,
right,
pull out the toxins that are present because of the stagnation, and you feel better. There's even studies that show its efficacy with treating certain, I can't remember which type, but there's a type of hepatitis treatment.
Oh my gosh.
That it's helpful for. Yeah. And it's been studied to also treat neck pain effectively.
Okay.
So
I guess my question is more like, why would an esthetician be using medical gua sha? Like what would a client come in and say that would then make them do?
Oh, like
medical?
Their neck.
Okay. So like neck pain. Okay.
Yeah. Because I think in aesthetic work, they'll work with the neck, maybe with lymphatic drainage or massage techniques. But as long as there's scraping technique being done where you're pulling redness out of the skin, that's medical gua sha. That's not okay to be receiving from someone who's not licensed in Chinese medicine.
Like treat it like the medicine that it is the theme. And, you know, get this from someone who is a doctor in this field, a licensed acupuncturist, a doctor of Chinese medicine. I think that's a good rule of thumb in general. You also brought up the lymphatic drainage, which I think also is something that is talked about a lot, especially on social media when it comes to gua sha. And that is a real medical thing. I personally have someone close to me in my life who has a lymphatic disease and can't just go get a lymphatic drainage massage or do lymphatic drainage with a gua sha at home. But it's talked about as if it's just, you know, a face massage, like you're just debloating.
Oh, I think that we need to have more conversations, especially in skincare and beauty media about lymphatic drainage. We need to take a step back and really help people understand what it is.
Right.
And what there are so many things being called lymphatic drainage today that are not lymphatic drainage.
Okay. Maybe this is like its own episode that we follow up with.
And I would be happy to be a guest. Let's bring on a doctor.
Yeah.
Let's bring on a true lymphatic drainage specialist.
Yeah.
And talk about it. We really should because
I love this idea.
People are so confused.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And it's something that I thought would help this person that I love who is literally dealing with, you know, lymphocytosis and, you know, a disorder of the lymph. And it's not. It's actually dangerous for this person's condition, especially if done on their own and not by a licensed practitioner. So I've seen like the side where it could actually be like you were saying, like something can be really dangerous if you're using it for the wrong condition or in the wrong context. So I am a full advocate of taking this very, very seriously. And I see literally every day on my TikTok feed, people doing quote unquote lymphatic drainage massages.
Oh, every day. And I mean, the first thing that everyone should know is that if you have a medical condition,
yeah,
and if you have a diagnosed medical condition that is serious, and you will know if it is, because you will be in medical treatment, right? And you will have specialists treating you and examining you. If that's your situation, you should always check with your physician before you do anything like self-massage at home or any kind of self-care that involves physical touch, massage, gua sha, cupping, any of those things. You should always check with your physician.
Right. Yep. And that includes, at this point, a licensed practitioner of Chinese medicine. I know I keep saying it, but I think that the theme to keep reiterating is like, this is a serious medical practice and it's not, you know, influencer farming. Like,
and just know trends. The difference.
Yeah.
Know the difference between what an influencer, know that, you know, most influencers learn their information from somewhere. You can easily Google Chinese medicine and teach people, teach your followers about Chinese medicine because you did the Google search, right? But that's so different than studying and training in Chinese medicine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have a couple of my girlfriends who are at PCOM right now. And just seeing the amount of studying and the clinical work that they're doing and what are they called? The comps and the...
Yes.
You went through it. You know all this stuff. And just the sheer work. Oh my gosh. They're so worn down.
Yes, it's a gruesome level of work. You are exhausted at the end of your 4 years of training.
Yep.
And so that's why I speak with such a strong hardliner voice to the public about Chinese medicine because it's becoming so popular and there is a whole other level of practice that I don't think people are aware of. So I'm glad that we're talking about it. But as far as lymphatic drainage goes, I think that one of the biggest misconceptions about gua sha is that it's a lymphatic drainage technique.
Right.
It 100% is not a lymphatic drainage technique, technically, but people use the tool in a lymphatic drainage fashion.
Okay.
So if you're using the tool to do lymphatic drainage technique, then it becomes more like lymphatic drainage, but that is not the true root of what gua sha is or what it's for.
Right.
Now, having said that, I think it's important to say that gua sha absolutely helps and improves lymphatic circulation, just like it improves blood circulation and qi, energy circulation. But it's not a lymphatic drainage technique, and you don't have to apply the rules of lymphatic drainage to gua sha because they're two different things.
Right.
So people are constantly confusing this on social media, and it just is one of those things that has become, you know, quote unquote reality because it's been repeated so many times.
Right. Like just because it's repeated doesn't mean it's true. But I do like this idea of, you know, it's not lymphatic drainage, but there are benefits that can sort of be related, which is the confusing part. But let's talk about maybe some benefits of someone using a gua sha tool in a cosmetic, not medical fashion at home. Like they're watching, you know, a YouTube video and they're trying to just, you know, boost some circulation in their skin. Is this something that you would recommend doing? Like you think it's safe to do?
It is safe to do as long as you don't have a serious medical condition like your friends.
Right.
And if you do, you just need to talk to your physician. But it is safe to do. I do recommend that you follow Chinese medicine practitioners who have tutorials over an influencer.
Right. Do you have any on your site?
Yeah, we certainly do. We have YouTube tutorials.
Perfect.
We have Instagram tutorials. Oh, our content's always tutorials.
Amazing. I'm going to link to all of that in the episode description too. So if you're listening right now and you're like, I want this step by step, everything will be hyperlinked.
Yes. And I think that it's important to us to be putting out educational content because we have put to market tools, and it's our responsibility to follow up and support our customers and our followers and people who love Gua Sha and love our tools with education and follow-up support. So sometimes people will write to us and say, hey, I did Gua Sha and then I got a headache. Is that because of the Gua Sha or what's going on? And we have to be able to support that customer and be able to understand what questions to ask them in order to arrive at the answer for them, mm-hmm. right? Usually it's not Gua Sha causing a headache, but maybe there was something that they were doing with it that did lead to a headache. And that's something mm-hmm. we can diagnose and examine as Chinese medicine practitioners. So that's why it's so important when you are looking for a brand to support you in Gua Sha or anything that has to do with Chinese medicine, like herbs, you want to make sure that there's practitioners behind it, behind customer support, behind product development, behind communication and education, so that you're being properly and safely supported through your practice. And that's what we do with all of our content, whether it's on social media or on our own website or in our own newsletters. We're constantly, we feel very strongly about supporting the people that buy from us, mm-hmm. right? Like it's our responsibility and our duty to support them, not just when they buy the tool, but throughout their use. So that's what is one of our missions, is to be able to provide that support because we're, you know, based and we have a foundation in the medicine.
Amazing. So let's say someone listening right now wants to try, they want to buy a stone and they want to get going at home. Who would be like most suited for this? Like maybe what, maybe not condition is like the right word, but like what things, what goals might you have and what would be like the best next steps besides just buying the tool?
Well, okay. So the best next steps is anyone who wants to have a self-care practice that just offers them relaxation.
Nice.
I think anyone that wants that should do Gua Sha because it offers that. And that's really important to our health, you know, and in Asia, or in, especially in East Asia, like I come from Taiwan. So they have such an emphasis on relaxation and giving yourself relaxation as part of healthcare.
Right.
It's recognized as very important. And in fact, when things happen like breakouts or like suddenly your scalp has some inflammatory condition, one of the first things people will think is, are you rested enough? Have you been resting? Have you been sleeping? You know, what's going on? So there's this recognition that stress really gets in our way, especially when it comes to our beauty. And,
right.
and so it's important to have methods and techniques that we can easily reach for that help us relax. And that's what facial Gua Sha does.
Beautiful.
So anyone that wants that. And then also anyone who wants a more natural approach, a more DIY, like I can do this at home approach to well aging.
Nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah, because you can't just rely on a topical product. You need the product plus the touch technique. Right,
right? Like the mechanical action.
Yeah, you need the mechanics.
Yeah.
You need to be touching your skin. You need to be like pushing into your skin. You need to be massaging it, Gua Sha-ing it, whatever. So you need to match a physical, mechanical technique with your products. And so anyone interested in skincare who cares to invest in their skincare should invest time in doing something like a Gua Sha routine or a facial massage routine, but you got to touch your skin and you got to touch your face.
I love it because we went a long time hearing don't touch your face. So this is a nice way to get back to it.
Yeah, that's I'm not, yeah, that's a very foreign concept to me.
Right? Like, don't touch your face. The whole beginning of the pandemic, not to like trigger anyone with PTSD from the pandemic, but I just remember like, don't touch your face, don't touch your face. And I was so conscious of how often I touch my face. But now we're okay going back to massaging and touching our faces.
Yeah. I mean, people are so scared to, you know, create wrinkles right. from massaging their skin. Yep. And what they don't understand is if you don't help your circulation improve, because it does get sluggish as we get older.
Okay.
If you don't help your circulation move better, that's what's going to age your skin.
Wow. Okay. This is good to know.
But of course, you need to apply the right technique and good mm-hmm. technique. And there isn't just one good technique either. So I see sometimes people online get real tripped up because one person says one thing and another person says another thing and yep. they are opposite.
Right.
So amongst the first thing is look and see who's an actual practitioner. Go with them.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is even amongst practitioners, we can have differing techniques.
True.
For different reasons. So it might be okay. I think people get really, and sometimes content is a little clickbaity where it's like, you're doing it wrong. You know, they'll use sort of that hook to get you to listen. But just remember that they're just hooks.
Yep.
Read the rest of the caption.
I can watch confirm.
The rest of the, yeah, watch the
media.
Rest of the reel. Exactly. Read to the end of the article. Watch to the end of the reel. And don't just land on the hook. Keep going and see what's behind the hook. Because I see people getting really tripped up and creating arguments with each other.
Right.
About like, that's wrong. That's a wrong technique. And there are some things that are outright wrong. But, I think a lot of times people are just nitpicking on little things so that they can, I'm not sure why.
Feel superior.
It's funny. Yeah.
Right.
But it's silly. So anyone that wants to improve their skin naturally and with their own hands at home, should and can do facial gua sha as long as they don't have a serious medical condition where they first check in with a physician. And then once you've decided that that's what you want to do, look for a Chinese medicine practitioner who teaches. I'm one of them. There's another woman named Paige Yang, Paige Yang of Yang.face. She's also another Chinese medicine practitioner who does a lot of gua sha. And just look for that. There's a lot of Chinese medicine practitioners who will include doing this in their practice. So just ask if you have an acupuncturist. So then, you know, once you get a few tutorials in and you know what you're doing, then you can go to the next level. You can either see a Chinese medicine practitioner in mm-hmm. office if that's possible for you, because that will help you learn. Right, is to actually get a professional treatment.
Yeah, and it's like then, tutoring.
Exactly. And for me, our brand, Lanxin, now is offering classes. We recognize that not everyone has access to a Chinese medicine practitioner. So our classes are a way for people who don't have access to connect with the medicine with an actual practitioner. So,
I need to take this class immediately.
Our next class is on TechNeck. It's called TechNeck No More.
Use my God.
Gua sha and TCM techniques to get rid of it. And I'm going to teach a gua sha and hot massage protocol for it's an anti TechNeck protocol using gua sha and TCM techniques. And
then, oh my God, exactly what I need right now.
Yeah. And then we're going to go over other important things, because you can't just do gua sha or massage to get rid of TechNeck. You have to think about a host of other things and apply them to your day-to-day life in order to get rid of TechNeck. But you have to usually I say it's about three things together to truly get rid of something. So let's say a gua sha technique plus a posture adjustment plus an herb or a product or something like that. But usually you need three things going after one issue to really nip it in the bud.
I love that. That's like also really easy to remember, three prong. Like it's a good thing to keep in your back pocket.
Yeah.
I love it. So I will leave lots of links in the episode description for our listeners to find you, connect with you, take a class, find a tool. Is there anything else that you want to leave listeners with before we say goodbye for the day?
Well, I would just say that the thing that I love about Chinese medicine and what it offers people is that in the world of beauty, I think we often think that beauty is something that we find outside of ourselves. It's in a product that you buy. It's in the latest trendy product that everyone is obsessed with, or it's in the latest cosmetic treatment that you need to go and get from, say, a dermatologist. You need to inject something into your body. I feel like that's a lot of what people think when they think of how do I work with or improve my beauty, right? So,
right.
Or why I love bringing Chinese medicine to skincare is because it inherently is all about something entirely different, which is to look to what you already have within you and amplifying that as a way to build beauty and as a way to build health, which is the foundation of beauty. So I think that's a really important idea and concept for people today, because we look outside of ourselves too much for things that are actually found within. And when we understand that we were born with, we currently have qi energy. We have vessels that carry that qi and that energy. We have our blood circulation. We have our essence that we were born with. That is something we recognize in Chinese medicine as a thing. Our essence, when we recognize that we're built from all of these things, then maybe we wouldn't look outside for things right. to make us feel more beautiful or things to make us feel more whole. Maybe we would recognize that we just need to amplify what we already have. We were born with it. It's our original condition. Health and beauty is our original condition. And the lens of Chinese medicine speaks to that. And that's why I love it. And that's why I think it's important now and for the near future.
I mean, gorgeous words to end a podcast about beauty and health. So beautiful. Thank you so much for that. It has been such a gift for all of us to experience this and to hear your words of wisdom. Thank you, thank you, thank you for imparting this information. All of your education and your 20 plus years of practice has gone into so much, but we are so grateful that you were able to take an hour with us and share for free, which is just incredible. So directing listeners back to you to find more, again, I did say I will put it in the episode description, but will you share your website and your social handles so they can find you as well?
Of course. You can find us on lanshin.com, lanshin.com, and our Instagram is at treatmentbylanshin. TikTok is Lanshin Skin, and YouTube is Lanshin. And I think that's all the things.
Amazing. And again, hyperlinks are there. Don't worry about having to write this down if you're driving. Sandra, thank you so much. This was such a gift. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure to have this conversation. I love talking about TCM. So anytime.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. To learn more about these practices, educate yourself on TCM, get some step-by-step instructions for Gua Sha, and shop for TCM tools, visit Sandra's site and social media accounts, both linked in the description. I hope you're having an absolutely fabulous summer. Go outside and get some fresh air, work on your tech neck by disconnecting, and definitely get some good sleep tonight. I love you all so much. A bientôt. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of This Is Fine. I've been your host, Dominique Michelle Astorino. We're based in San Diego, recording in studio at DLI Productions in Pacific Beach with Emmy Award-winning sound designer Dan De La Isla. This is a comedy and advice podcast, but for legal reasons, this entire podcast is a joke and none of it is medical advice. To download a transcript or learn more, visit thisisfinepodcast.com.